Raise your hands and just bless him. Bless the audience of one. Sing it to an audience of one, the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Isn't God good? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Get your Bibles out. Let's go ahead and shake hands with somebody. Tell them that you love them in the Lord. Anything extra kill because it'll take up our memory. I got the same problem your daddy had. You kill it. It needs to be, okay, I know what's wrong. It needs to be saved. Save it. You save it. That's all right. Now let's see. Save. And now I got one more. If you don't kill it, it wants to be saved. Wilson. There we go. Okay, yeah, we got it. Okay. Okay. There we go. There we go. Isn't God good? Don't forget now, if you've already donated to Team Bethany, oh, and come on, Frankie, go ahead. You got to talk too. I forgot about her. Go ahead, sister.
Next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock is our next reunion group for Mass. And y'all been seeing Team Bethany on the emails he sent out and stuff, the texts. Well, that's what he used as an app name. Y'all still have to bring me names that y'all have for the group to use for the group. This is a group thing. It's not, you know, one of us making a decision. This is a total group thing.
That's right.
So we want to still have that, y'all to do that. Y'all, hopefully, I'm going to send out one more text myself. Hopefully, that will be the last one y'all be getting until I have to give you information. I'm sorry it's been this way, and I hope y'all forgive me. But I'm doing the best I know how to do because
I forgive you, sister.
I got the group up there on my phone, but then I couldn't find out how to text. So I thank y'all for being patient with us.
Awesome. Like she said, Team Bethany, or there's another one. There's several names. One of them, that, and it can be, they've got another one up there for Bethany, Bethany Bunch. Okay, well, bless my Bethany. There's all kinds of them. Bless my Bethany, Team Bethany. And you don't have to have Bethany's name in it. Whatever. Just the group, when it meets, y'all are going to decide on a reunion group name. And it can be anything. That's what's going to happen next Sunday night. They're going to have a reunion group. And also, like I said, if anybody's already donated to Team Bethany, I'm going to have both of these bands are going to be in the office. And so all you got to do is go see Jeannie. And for any donation, if you've already made a donation to Team Bethany, you can get one too. But there it is. There they are. I'm wearing God's Got This right now. And Team Bethany, I think DC's got a God's Got This. And Sierra's got a Team Bethany. And I'm not sure Brandon has a. I'm not sure. You got one of both. So there's, again, it's whatever. But you can pick. It's up there. And all the proceeds, 100%, 100% goes to Team Bethany Relay for Life. So anything you donate for Team Bethany, you can be well assured that every bit of it, 100%, goes to Team Bethany. And we're just trying to keep her dream alive for Relay for Life. Also, if anybody still, next week's our first board meeting. I'm back on the Emmaus board, next week. If anybody wants to, I'm trying to work it out. So if anybody wants to donate to the Bethany Scholarship Fund for Emmaus, again, you to make it easier, you can do it any way you want to, but to make it easier, you can donate it through the church, and the church can write a check, and it'll go to the Emmaus Board. 100% goes to the Emmaus Board as a scholarship for other pilgrims. So Bethany, although that she's with God, she's still sending pilgrims on the walk, which I think is awesome. Amen. That's right. Let us know. Bethany, it's amazing to me that I had no idea that Bethany was going to be dead within the year. And she'd been talking about going on the mass walk. So she'd been behind the scenes with me for years, but she had never experienced the walk. So she didn't know all that was going on. She had no idea all that went on. All she knew about was the stuff that went on while everybody else was in the inside. She knew about the outside stuff that was going on. And so, when she got there, she said it was one of the greatest things she'd ever experienced in her life. And when she was dying, in her dying moments, within hours, she was singing that Emmaus song that we did at Candlelight. She was humming that song and singing that song. So that says a lot to me to how much Emmaus meant to her, for her to be doing that in her last hours. Okay? Her very last hours was Sierra singing to her. And that y'all that were here, y'all heard it played during the funeral. That was the last thing she sang. But one of the last things was her personally, just bringing it up, was the Emmaus Candlelight song. All right, let's get together on this thing. We got a couple more weeks on this because I'm trying not to overdo it. Yes. It's at Lillington, yeah. Right, and if I understand that, because we want to do it at Farmville. If it's at Farmville, everything is pretty central. And I don't know why they picked Mamers this time, but I hope that's the only time. We can get the van. Yeah, we can get the van and go if there's enough. If there's enough people wanting to go, we'll get you there. Okay. Now, and if you've never been to an Emmaus gathering, it's kind of like and there's going to be a special speaker. Is a special speaker still in the house? There's this guy that kind of favors me. He has a name like mine. Matter of fact, he's got everything on his name just like mine. The only difference is he's got a junior and I got a senior. So DC is talking at the next Emmaus gathering. So that's going to be cool. DC is the key speaker at the next Emmaus gathering. All right, you know, how many know this is the new year? If you don't know, something's wrong, amen? I wrote down, I've done this before, but I just like it. So I wrote it down again, some top 10 resolutions. Since we're building ourselves, if we're going to build ourselves, here's some top 10 resolutions. Number one, this one should be pretty easy. How many make resolutions and then by the end of the year it's over? I mean, by the end of the month it's over. You hold a resolution. Matter of fact, on Tuesday nights, that's what I'm showing now we're doing is we actually had everybody vote on the top resolutions. And when we wrote vote on the top resolutions, I get everybody pick two. And when everybody picked two, then while we were there, we all picked them out and put them down. And it's amazing how just about everybody had them just about the same way in the same order. So the very first week, we talked about how to study the Bible. And then we talked about prayer. So we got some other things we got to do, but we took that list and I'm going down that list just so to help you make a good resolution. And don't even want it to be a resolution, want it to be a revolution. There's a difference. Okay? A resolution is something I say, a revolution is something I do. So it'll be a resolution. But here's one you can keep. Everybody here can keep. Number one resolution for the year, gain weight. at least 30 pounds. Number two resolution everybody can keep. Stop exercising. You see where I'm going with this, don't you? Number three, read less. Number four, procrastinate more starting tomorrow. Number five, get in a whole new rut. Number six, create loose ends. Number seven, get further in debt. Here's my favorite. Try not to swim with piranhas or sharks. Number nine, wait for opportunity to knock. And number 10, focus on the faults of others. Now, what I just did was take everything except for the piranhas and turn it around, and that would be a good resolution for you. Amen? Try to lose weight, exercise, read more, quit procrastinating, get out of your rut. Don't create loose ends. How do you not create loose ends? It's called finishing what you started. Don't get further into debt, but try to get out of debt. And don't wait for opportunity to knock. And don't focus on the faults of others. Amen. So, kind of comical and kind of not, huh? Amen. All right, get your Bible out. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 2. This year is bound to be better than years before. Amen. One of the number one reasons is because we are that much closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. And being that much closer to His coming makes it more exciting to me. And I really long to see Him come. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, unto death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Search for the hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God, that we're able, God, to stand before you this day, God. Although, Lord, Father, in our own eyes, we see ourselves not worthy. In your eyes, you look at us through the cross, and you see us worthy, not because of what we did, but because of what your Son did. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Lord, in a very powerful way, and let this year be the greatest year we've ever had. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. If you can, on the way down, look at somebody and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Building a better you. All right, now I'm going to give you just a couple of slides from last week just to kind of keep us going, because we got one more week after this week, and then we're going to go into something else. I'm not exactly sure, because the Lord just keeps filling my head full of so much stuff. You know, how many had some good, some bad, some ugly in 2018? Matter of fact, some of you can say we had more bad than we had good, or we had more ugly than we had good. Some of you say, well, we had more good than we had ugly, and we had bad. You know, many of us, we can look back over last year and would like 2019 to be better. How many wants this year to be better than last year? How many would love to see it explode into greatness compared to last year? Amen. Amen. So watch this. Here's what I want you to understand. This is the part I have to get out. It's so many times when it comes time for the new year, I've listened to the radio, I've watched the television preachers, and all I keep hearing is every last one of them have prophesied that 2019 is going to be a better year. Every last one of them. They've prophesied it as though God's going to just, watch this. He's going to open up the windows of heaven, and everybody's going to sit there with their hands open, and he's going to drop them down like a mama trying to feed her baby bird. Let me just tell you something. That's not how it happens. If you're waiting for God just to open the windows and drop it on you, and what happens from time to time, but I'm talking about you want to see a good 2019. Watch this. You've got a part to play. You've got something to do. Watch this. Here it is, your attention. What are you seeing? Your attitude. After you see things that are coming against you, how do you think about it? And your actions, how do you respond? You know, I cannot change the way some people feel about me. Some people feel good, some people feel bad. I can't change that. That's something they have to do. Amen. I can show them something different about me, but that's still up to them if they're going to change or not. I can't change the way certain things are happening in my life. Like I said, when I was watching Castaway the other night and Wilson started going away, and then all I could think about was Bethany fading away, and I was trying to catch her and trying to help, and I couldn't do a thing about it. She just kept on going. And I kept saying, I heard him, he was crying in the night, honey, I'm sorry, Wilson, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I could hear myself crying tonight. I'm sorry, Bethany. I'm sorry, Bethany. I'm sorry. But you know what? God says, listen, you can't change what has happened, but you can, listen, you can change how you look at it further on and up in front. Amen? You can make a difference in this. Watch this now. So watch. Here we go. Here we go. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, here it is. That word mind is attitude. How many here has got a good attitude? I mean, here's got a bad attitude. Don't raise your hands. I saw two or three. Amen. And quit pointing at the person beside you. Okay. Mind. Let this attitude be in you that was in Jesus. This mind be as constant. This isn't something we put on for Sunday morning. Well, I put on my Sunday morning best. I got my Bible that I bring to church on Sunday morning. My fact is so special, I leave it in my pew. And I don't mess with it anymore until the following Sunday. Nobody's doing that, huh? Okay. All right. So it's constant. Every day, all the time. So be in you, personal. Quit pointing everybody else and telling everybody else how they ought to live. Don't be telling somebody else how to live unless you're doing the same thing. Amen? So it's important that we do this. And see, Jesus' attitude towards others was he was a servant. Let me ask you a question. How often do we see ourselves as a servant to others? Oh, it's easy to be a servant to a little child that's helpless. It's easy to be a servant to your spouse most of the time. It might be easy to be a servant to your kids. But what about that person you don't like? What about that person that every time they walk up, they got EGR stamped over their head? You know what EGR is? Extra grace required. What about that person you really don't want to be around? How do you see yourself with them? Do you see yourself as a servant or do you see yourself dominating the situation? Jesus was the greatest man that ever walked on this earth. He was the most powerful man that ever walked on this earth. He's the only man that ever walked on this earth that could do what he did. The only one. Heaven stood at attention every time he spoke. But this man, no matter how powerful and how great he was, he saw himself as a servant to us and even let us nail him on a cross. So let me ask you again. When you think about let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, it's pretty cool to say, yeah, I got the mind of Christ and everything I want's coming my way and I've got everything going my way and everything I pray for. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having a servant's attitude and a servant's mindset. That no matter how much you may feel about somebody else, you're not to overcome them and overpower them. You are to be a servant. And that isn't always easy. I can promise you. I was in the Dollar Tree, Family Dollar last night, and I saw some very inspirational material that I couldn't believe this stuff was in the Family Dollar store. And so I'm picking up these notebooks, and while I'm working this notebook, a lady walks by me with her cart. She sees me. I pull up, so I'm out of her way, and she runs over me anyway with her cart. Didn't say, excuse me, nothing. And so I just went, this is really nice. I'm in the attitude aisle. Looking at good attitude stuff, and sorry, the bad attitude just run over me. So then I go to check out. I'm in a hurry because I'm still working on my sermon. I'm in a hurry. I just wanted to get some gas at the station next to it. So I said, well, I'll just go ahead and get out of here because I don't need to get a bad attitude Well, I'm talking about attitude. And so I get in the line, and the lady in front of me is in there in her pajamas. Bunny slippers. She just, and she got like 1,000 items. And every one of them, she has to have a price check. So we're going through this thing, and there was two people behind the counter. Finally, one of the persons behind the counter walks over to the other cash register and says, I'll get whoever's next. So I turn around, have all this stuff, these notebooks and stuff, and I go to lay them on the counter, and here comes that woman that run over me. And she looks at me and goes, and pushes her cart right up there. And I said, go ahead. And I turned around and got behind the one with the bunny slippers. And I'm saying, God, here I am trying to have this mindset, this attitude of a servant, and I want to kill somebody. I know, yeah, it sounded pretty rough. I know y'all don't ever feel that way. Just me. Forgive me, I'm sorry. I wanted to go bunny hunting. And so finally, the people that took my spot, they leave. While they're in the cash register line, she goes, y'all got a public restroom? Lady says, no, ma'am, we don't. She says, uh-oh. And I'm thinking, lady, please, whatever you do, don't get it on me. And so she tells the guy, you check out this stuff. I'm walking over to the laundromat, and I'm going to go to the bathroom. So she walks out. The guy finally gets through, so I walk back. The lady says, can I take you now, sir? I said, sure. And so I'm handing her stuff about good attitude, let God be with you, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, I really need to read that again. I picked it up, looked at it again. She said, the price is right there. I said, no, I'm not looking at the price. I'm looking at the title. And I hand it to her. I go to get out, and when I get to get my car, the lady with the bunny slippers pulls out in front of me. So I'm stopping and I'm waiting, and I said, good attitude, servant, mind of Christ, mind of Christ, mind of Christ. I said, lady, if you don't mind, I got it. So she finally moves. And then I get on the little side road to get over to the gas station. We get on the side road. The woman from the bathroom runs back across the street, catches the guy in the car, and she stops the car right in the middle of the road, and she comes and climbs in her car, and I'm stopped in the middle of the road while the lady in the bathroom is now getting in the car, and I'm sitting there going, ah! And I said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And so I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm going, Lord, I've got to be like you. I got to be like you. I got to be like you. And so I said, bless her, Lord. I'm just glad that she got in the bathroom. Hopefully she got there in time. I don't know, but thank you, God. So then she finally moves. They move out of the way. And I get my gas and I come home. And again, it's not just Sundays. Not just with church folk. It's even with folk that really EGR, extra grace required. Last night, while I'm working on the sermon, go to get this stuff that's on attitude, and I'm sitting there, and here's my chance. I mean, honestly, I could have told the lady, look, I was next in line. If you don't mind, would you want to get out of the way? I belong here. But no, I didn't. I said, no, I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm going to be a servant here. I told the lady in the bunny slippers, take your time. Amen. So again, watch this now. Jesus was a servant. There's a lot of times I would look back in the day, I'd give you a piece of my mind. I realized I couldn't afford that because I'd come up short. And so I've learned to sit back and let God handle it. Because if I try to handle it, it's going to cause stress. If I handle it, it's going to cause pain. If I try to handle it, it's going to make matters even worse and more messy. But if I just sit back and wait, God has a way of evening out the odds. And so here we go. So he was a servant, and his attitude toward himself was, I don't have a problem with that. I'll be a servant. I had a problem at the Family Dollar store Saturday night, last night, but I finally just said, God, here, this is not worth it. The bunny slippers and the bathroom, and all, it's not worth it. I got attitude stuff in my hand, let God be God and all that stuff. Ah, I said, okay, Lord, you got to be it. So watch. So here we go. So let this mind be in you. Now, watch this now. I love this. If you want 2019 to be better, quit looking for somebody to blame about everything. Well, I would be like this, but they made me. Nobody made you do anything. Well, I didn't have this bad attitude until I got around them. They made me. No, nobody made you. It's amazing. So amazing. You know, I was sitting there one day arguing with DC when he was little. I was going to town. I said, son, I can't believe you're doing that. I was going after him. And then come one of the ladies from the church and went, hey, sister, how you doing? And DC said, what happened to you, Dad? But it's just me here. You eat me up. She walks in. All of a sudden, butter just melts on your tongue. And the Lord used him a lot during his young age to whip up on me and whip me into shape. And so again, here it goes. Nobody makes you. You choose to respond the way you do. So quit looking for somebody to blame outside. Take some responsibility for your actions on the inside, okay? Now, here we go. Here, this is from last week. It's just two scriptures, and we're going to them. Of course, as a man thinks, so is he. How do you think about yourself? You know, is it a kitten looking in and seeing a lion, or is it a lion looking in and seeing a kitten? Which way do you see yourself? Amen. So here it goes. Here, last week. This is from last week. If you want 2019 to be better, and you want to do something about it, so God can use you. Number one. Think better thoughts. You know, I talked about last week, and I'm probably going to put in next week. You know, if you don't think on these positive things, if you don't think on the good things of God, it says, summing it all up, this is Philippians 4, 8, 9, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work into you his most excellent harmonies. I talked about this last week, and I said I'm going to put it up there next week, probably with Oscar the Grouch. Where did Oscar the Grouch live? You got a choice every day. If you're going to be feeding on the negative and feeding on the latest gossip, and talking about somebody all the time and thinking everybody's good enough to be beside you, and on and on and on, you lose the servant attitude, and you're just attack somebody. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're no longer God's vessel. You are Satan's trash can. And I don't want to be Satan's trash can. I want to be God's vessel. And so again, God will feed into you when he knows you'll feed it out. Because the vessel then becomes a conduit. The vessel becomes a conduit because God gives it in and you give it out. And you think God's going to give it in you if you're trying to be a trash can for Satan? No. But if you're going to be a vessel for God, he'll give it in. You give it out and things really work out good. So that's number one, think better thoughts. The better you also, watch this, is to hear better sounds. The Bible says, that faith cometh by hearing, and so that is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. Why do you keep on your mind all the time? The latest gossip, the latest junk, you know, what's on your mind? If you want a better you, you got to change the way that you what you're hearing. Be careful of the lies, what you see. Be careful of the lies, what you hear. It should be, look, watch what you're doing. Watch yourself. Be careful. Pay careful attention. Now, that was last week. Here comes this week. So think better thoughts. Hear better sounds. Look at that. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Here it is. See better sights. The Bible tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I've been guilty of this. And it's amazing, because let me just tell you something about this. This is in psychology. It's true. Many look for the bad in people and circumstances. And when they're always looking for the bad in people and circumstances, they only see their faults and the negatives. That's it. If you're always looking for the worst, you know why? Because the mind is programmed. I had somebody send something to me one day, and they said, "Look, I've forgiven others, but I can't forgive myself. What do I do? How do I get beyond this?" And again, do you know, even though you go to sleep at night, even though you have shut yourself down to sleep, even if you're in your rapid eye movement sleep, even at that point when you're processing the stuff that you've seen that day and you're trying to process stuff that's in your mind that's weighed heavy, at the same time, your consciousness never sleeps. Did you know that? Your mind never shuts down. If it did, you'd die. It never shuts down. It's like God. God says, you know, you can deny me, but I won't deny myself. The same way, I cannot be thinking, but my mind's still thinking. It's telling my lungs to breathe. It's telling my heart to pump. It's going on, and there's things I'm thinking on the inside. And that's why, have you ever just, like when I was watching that movie Castaway, and all of a sudden Wilson's going away. I'm having a good time watching this movie, eating popcorn, sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden I was immediately drawn back to Bethany, because in my mind, all I could think of before this movie was Bethany drifted away, and I tried my best to catch her and to hold her back, but I couldn't. And all I could do was apologize. I apologized to that girl all the time. She said, "Daddy, please quit apologizing. You didn't bring this cancer on me." You know, and again, subconsciously, it was in my subconscious. And so in your subconscious, even though you don't realize it's there, it's there. And even though you don't realize you're thinking it, you're thinking it. And so when the proper trigger comes, then it goes out. And that's why people with PTSD, all of a sudden they just go crazy and whammo, and they start doing crazy stuff, because all of a sudden, whatever they were in the streets of Iraq or in Vietnam or even in a car wreck or domestic abuse, when somebody else comes against them, subconsciously their mind is still processing it. It's never been processed completely and put out of their mind. It's still there. It's still causing problems. And even though they don't even realize it's there, one little trigger, and all of a sudden you're back. And you're having to fight that same battle again. So watch this. If you look, the mind sees what it's prepared to see. The mind hears what it's prepared to hear. Have you ever been arguing with somebody? My daddy's the best. My daddy will start jumping at me, and I'm trying not to argue with him. And one day he jumped me hard, and I said, "Daddy, why are you jumping me?" He said, "Because what you just said." I said, "Daddy, I just agreed with you." "Oh, I didn't hear that." I said it very clearly. "I agreed with you." He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, son. I heard you disagree." Because he heard what he was prepared to hear. Okay? So be careful. If you're looking for the bad in people and circumstances, you're only going to see their faults and you're going to see their negative. Next time you got somebody that really grates your nerves and tears you up and you really have a hard time being around them, try this. Try thinking about some of their good qualities. I guarantee you, when I'm working with people and I'm trying to negotiate in between a couple or negotiate between people, and I start talking to them, and I'll say, "Okay, what's the problem?" And the person that's attacking the other one will give me 25 reasons why they need to attack me. Okay, you give me 25 reasons why. Can you give me one good thing they've done? Well, there's plenty of good things they've done. Well, why don't you want to talk about them? Because I'm too busy attacking. Because all I see is the negative. All I see is the hurt. All I see is the way things are going. So watch this. If you're looking for bad, you're going to see bad, okay? So watch this. To be a better person, to be a positive person, you must look for the good and look to Jesus. I remember when I went to Bath Church of God, the pastor before me told me, said, "There's a guy there, said he'll make your life a living nightmare. Said he'll make your life miserable. He said he'll make you want to climb out to the top of the church and jump." I said, "Well, that wasn't doing any good. All you do is break your leg." He just talked about how bad it was. So the very first thing is when I got in there, I said, you know what I'm going to do? God blind me to what he just said. I'll take a note of it, but blind me to it. Don't let me treat him the way the guy's already got me prepared to jump in there with my sword and shield and ready to start doing battle. So the very first thing I did, I walked in, put my arm around him, and started talking with him. And over the next couple of weeks, any chance I got, I put positive into him. I'd look for his positives, and I'd bring out his positives that I saw. And you know what? It's been since the 80s and early 90s, and that man will still tell you I'm one of the best friends he's ever had. And he's one of my best friends. But you know why? Because I didn't go with this, look for bad in people. I look for good. And it was amazing how now, even to this day, he'll say, he's one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. And I feel the same way toward him. He would do anything for me. But it's because I didn't listen to what everybody else was saying about him. Well, everybody's just a pastor before me. Instead, I looked for his positive qualities, and I started pulling them out and started seeing good things he was doing instead of bad things. And it's amazing how the same guy, when I saw him years later, the same pastor said, he said, you're having problems, ain't you? I said, with who? He said, with him. I said, no, I rode up here with him. He said, I bet he had to drive. I said, no, I drove. He said, I bet you argued the whole way. I said, no, we sang songs and told jokes and had a good time. He said, well, I bet you have. I said, no, we stopped and got something to eat. I said, we done fine. And he said, why was that? I said, because, number one, I didn't look for all the things you said. I looked for his good qualities, and I started pouring them back into him, feeding it back to him, and it's amazing our friendship. He said, okay. So I made the other guy mad. You heard about the guys, you know, the other guys are riding in Newbern, not Newbern, but in Raleigh, and they're going to Fuquay Arena and the preacher's convention, and the one preacher looks at the other preacher and says, let's go to Fuquay Arena, to Burger King or somewhere and get something to eat. And he goes, the McDonald's anywhere. And he goes, not Fuquay Arena, it's Fuquay Arena. He said, no, it's Fuquay Arena. And they argued all the way till they got to Fuquay Arena. And when they get to Fuquay Arena, they're still arguing, and they go inside this restaurant. And one guy looks at the other and says, I'm going to find out where we're at, and I'm going to end this argument right now. So he pulls up to the lady at the counter, and looks over the counter and says, she says, can I help you? He said, yes, ma'am, you sure can. Me and my buddy are having a strong discussion, and I think you could help us. If she said, if I can, I will. He says, tell us where we're at, and pronounce it real slow. And she went, Burger King. Some things aren't even worth arguing about. All right. So now, watch this. Watch. I love this. Looking away, this is the Greek, looking away from all that will distract us. Wow. It's not looking unto Jesus. In the Greek, it literally means looking away from all that will distract us. And focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the starter. He's the one that's got us in this, and the perfecter of faith. The first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. One who, for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne. So see better sights. Then they ask a question. What are you seeing in folks? What are you seeing in each other? You know, especially couples. If couples could get, when you first get married, it's so amazing. I tell people all the time when they get married, they go, you've heard me say this before. I go, why do you want to marry him? She goes, because I love him. And I ask him, why do you want to marry her? And he goes, well, I love her too. And I said, well, how much do you love him? She goes, I love him so much I could eat him up. And 6 months later, when he comes home drunk, spent all his money, and he got money for bills, and he wants you to help clean the mess up he just made. You come to me and she goes, I wish I had have already eaten him. All right, here we go. Watch this. Words kill, but words give life. Proverbs 18:21. I love that. Words kill, words give life. Here it is. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. One more time. I love it. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Psalm 105 and 2 says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 105. You see, too many people, all they want to talk about is evil and bad events. Sometimes it's harsh and unkind. And even take the Lord's name in vain. Have you ever watched the news? And they'll go through the whole 30 minutes of bad stuff. And they're trying to rile you up. And you can watch different networks. And depending on which slant they're taking, depends on which way they're going to go. You watch one, and it says this guy's right and this guy's wrong. You turn over to the next channel, it says this guy's right and this guy's wrong. And you turn another channel, they're both wrong. You turn another channel, they're both right. I mean, so you got their perspective on the news. They say we're just going to report and you decide, but actually, if you look at all the news, all of it, they still have a slant to that news. And so all this stuff goes on for all this 30 minutes, and at the very end, they show one little heartwarming story about how somebody saved a puppy. Think about it. You see, they spend all this time getting you riled up, all this time getting you upset, all this time. Watch commercials. You know, we were watching commercials the other night watching that movie Castaway, and it was on AMC. And as we're watching the movie Castaway, it had like 15 commercials every 2 minutes. And all the 15 commercials were all about ways to lose weight, or all about ways to retire, or all about ways to donate money to dogs, cats, the lions over in the iguana, whatever. And so each time it was there to just, it was a nerve jerker. Every time you watched a little bit of movie and a lot of nerve jerker, a little bit of movie and a lot of nerve jerker. Thank God that you can record stuff now and just move it, go and pass through the commercials. All right. So now with that in mind, think about this thing. Sometimes all we have on our mind is hurt and pain and what people are doing to us. You know, we should learn to start talking positively about things and seeking God. Words of encouragement. In healing words, I'm going to read a few of them. We're going to get ready to go. DC, you get ready to play something, son. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, of course. And those who love it will eat its fruit. For here it is again. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Number two, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. That the words of my mouth, what comes out, and the meditation of my heart, what comes in, be acceptable in your sight, God. What comes out of my mouth, what goes in. You know, I've learned something over the years. There are certain people in certain families I know I can go to and talk to them first. And I go talk to them first because usually they'll be level-headed. And I know if I go talk to them first, they'll be level-headed, they'll listen, and then I can use them to help influence the rest of the family or to find out what's going on. Because if I go to certain people first, I'm going to get the hard, rough, hardest thing about the whole mess, and it's going to be so out of proportion that it doesn't even make sense anymore. So I find that certain person, and it worked. On teams, I knew which person on the team to go to. In engineering, I knew which engineer to go to when I had certain problems because I knew they wouldn't blow it out of proportion and they could talk to people and they could handle problems. And so even now, I keep those mental notes in my head. I know who the go-to person is because I know they'll be honest and they'll be fair and they have a positive mindset, and I want to get to them first so they can help calm down the situation before it gets out of hand. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of those people? I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not even asking you to raise your hand. Are you that kind of person that they can go to first because they know that they're not going to get their head ripped off, then go to you first because they know that you'll be a positive influence? They go to you first because they know that you won't lose your cool. You'll stop and listen, even if it's the worst of news. You can still go to that person first. That's the kind of person I want to be, that you can go to me first. You know, if there's something in the family, you can go to me first. You can talk to me because you'll know that I won't lose my cool and I won't get all bent out of shape, but instead I'll do my best to keep the peace, because blessed are the peacemakers. And so this year, one way to speak better words, is you can ask God, God, am I one of those people the pastor's talking about? If I'm not, how can I be? Show me, God. Let me be that kind of person. Not the person that spreads it and makes it worse. You know, remember, in any situation, you got a bucket of water and a bucket of gas. Some situations you need to fire people up because they need to get moving. Throw the gas. Some people, the situation is so bad, nobody can do anything because you're in each other's way. You throw water to cut the gas out or cut the fire out. Which one do you do? Because sometimes when you need water, some people love to throw gas. And sometimes when you need gas, they love to throw water. You know, as a matter of fact, some people complain so much you think they got paid for it. You ever met them people? Okay? So now watch this. Look, here's one more. Let me give you one more. There are one whose rash words are like swords thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Listen again, this is what I'm talking about. Are you the person that when they go through, they know that you've got a sword in your hand, you're ready to take somebody's head off? Or are you going to have those wise words that brings healing? Are you going to feed the fire? Are you going to put it down? Are you going to stoke the hate and the hurt? Or are you going to try to bring healing in the situation? I want to be that one. Not with the sword to take off somebody's head. You know, I got a great compliment one day from a funeral director. Of course, it weren't from the people I did a service for. They never complain. If they do, I have to find out later on. I was watching Amen. I remember the show Amen? When the guy that played George Jefferson, he's the Deacon Fry. And the guy had been sent to prison for 5 years, wrote him a note, said he's coming to see him. He's finally getting out. And he says, oh, no, I messed up on him. And said, I could have done better, I think. I don't know. He said, he's mad. He's coming. When the guy finally finds him, he thinks he's going to kill him. And he goes to get him. And he goes up to him. And George Jefferson or Deacon Fry goes, well, come on, bring it on. I ain't running anymore. He says, running, or come, bring it on. He said, I come to thank you. He said, thank me? He says, yeah. He said, that 5 years in prison, I got my life right. I got an education. I got things going. My whole attitude was changed, and I've got a whole new outlook on life, getting ready to start a business when I get out. He said, well, how did that help you? He said, it was your sorry job as a lawyer that got me 5 years. I loved it. Okay. So now, watch this now. Marriages, families, friendships, even siblings will do much better if we learn this. Let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Jesus used redemptive words. Even when he was talking junk to the religious guys, he still used redemptive words. There's two ways you can talk. You can use redemptive words or destructive words. Usually redemptive words, the sentence starts with me, or excuse me, with we, or we can, or why not. That's redemptive words. Then you've got destructive words. Redemptive words build, destructive words tear down. Use this, you should, you ought, you're the reason. So think about when you're talking to somebody. Am I using redemptive words that builds up, that brings hope? Or am I using destructive words? I was at Pitt Detention Center Thursday night, taking the place of another guy. And so when I'm in there, I'm the librarian. And I'm the deputy chaplain, and I'm a counselor that night. So I got all these things going on. There was this one guy in there. He wanted to get married. And so he had this letter, and he wrote a long letter. And he said, what do I need to do? What's the procedures? And who I need to talk to? Very well-written letter. And, of course, they said, the letter was written a week or so ago. And Sister Boone said, when you're in there Thursday night, how about go talk to this guy and tell him we can't do that? I knew we couldn't do that. It's against the rules there. Regular prison you can, but not here. And so I said, okay, I got a choice. I can just write on the letter, we can't do this, and give it to him. Or I can knock on the window in his cell and hold up the letter and go. Or I can go in the cell and just holler, hey, we can't do this, and walk off. And I said, no, this is too life-changing in his life, and this is a make-or-break moment, period. I don't know why he wants to get married. The reason we can't marry him, because, you know, if you ever get in trouble with the law, your girlfriend can testify against you, but your wife can't. And so I called him out. I went to the guard. It was so funny. I went to the guard. He didn't know me, and I had my badge, and he'd go up and I said, I need you to get this guy out of A4 and I need you to put him in the interrogation room because I got to go talk to him. And he said, because he keep changing people all the time, he goes, are you allowed to do that? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not only a chaplain, I'm also one of the two counselors here. And I said, besides, I'll tell you what, you go do it. If anybody stops you and you start and you have to come over here and ask me, I'll just deny everything I just said. So he went to get the guy, and the guy comes in, and he's bigger than me. And we go in the room and shut the door. This most time they come to him with chains on and their feet in shackles because they come from D block or F block. This guy came from A block, so he didn't have any shackles on, didn't have anything. And so he goes in the room and we shut the door. And I looked out the window, and the guard weren't even there like he normally is, waiting. I'm in there by myself. I'm here to tell him we can't marry him. And so I opened up the letter and I said, you know what? I can tell you're an intelligent fellow. I said, this is probably the greatest letter of anybody's ever written. And it was. I weren't just filling his head. This is the greatest letter I have received since I've been here. And for this actual purpose, it is absolutely the best. He goes, oh, cool, man. Thanks a lot. I said, that's the good news. He says, well, what's the bad news? I said, we got to throw the letter away. He said, excuse me. I said, we can't marry you to your girlfriend. I said, because it's against the law here, our law. You can't do it in a prison, yes, but not here. I said, but I thought you were ordained. I said, I'm ordained. I can do it. I said, but I'm not going to do it because it's against the rules. I said, when you get out, if you want to get married, call me. I'll go find you. We'll get it done. But right here, right now, it's not going to happen. I said, I don't want you to feel bad about it, but I said, I could have easily just wrote on the letter and give it back to you and sent it back to you that way or just sent somebody. I said, but instead, I respected you enough and thought about you, somebody I didn't even know, enough that I pulled you in this room so you could ask me any question you want to ask and we can sit down and talk about it without you just getting a bad letter back. He said, man, I thank you so much. And tears came in his eyes. And I said, look, man. I said, why'd you want to get married anyway? He said, you ever have a girlfriend? I said, yeah. Yeah. He said, they can drive you crazy, can't they? I said, well, yeah. He said, and she just wants to get married. And I keep telling her I can't get married. So we were going to get married, and I got locked up. And so she said, for me to be serious about this thing, she needed to get married even though I was locked up. And I said, dude, it ain't going to happen. I said, I told you, afterwards I will, but not now. He said, can you do me a favor? I said, what? He said, give me back my letter, and you write a letter on the bottom of it saying that it's against PCDC rules. And I wrote down, it's against. I said, this is Chaplain David. It's against PCDC rules to do your wedding in here. But when he gets out, if you'd like, you call me, and I'll help you, Pastor David. And then I gave him Brandon's phone number. So Brandon, you'll be here. So I chose redemptive words with this guy. And since there weren't any guards, This is wild. Sister went to guards because they were processed. They had 30 inmates they were trying to process and trying to get them through. So I said, it's time to go back to your cell. He says, who's going to take you? I said, I am. He said, okay. I said, stand right by me. I said, no, you stay right by me. And we walked all the way to his cell. I said, he said, who's going to let me in? I said, I can't. I ain't got a key. I said, but I'm going to stay here till they get you. It was pretty cool. They were about, again, redemptive words versus destructive. And Hebrews 13:5 says, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I will never let you down, never walk off and leave you. We can boldly say God is there, ready to help. I am fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? So here we go. And we're closing, and we'll finish it up next week. How many want to be a better you? All right, without raising your hands, how many want a better marriage? Don't raise your hands. Husbands, do not raise your hands. Because some people might take that negative. If you want a better marriage, wives, I talked about it last week. Take your husband off the potter's wheel. You climb on it. If you want a better husband, be a better wife. If you want a better wife, be a better husband. If you want a better brother and sister, then you be a better brother or sister. If you want to see the church do better than it's ever done before, then you be a better church member. Take everybody else. Give them a break. Take everybody else off your potter's wheel. And you climb up on it and say, God, here I am. Now, the problem is when you climb on the potter's wheel, all of a sudden you start spinning, things get out of control, things get out of hand, you get poked, you get prodded. Last night I was using those, resistant, those little rubber things for using your own resistance to exercise with. And I was doing this, and these things here were like 5 years old. I learned to never trust a five-year-old resistance cord. I'm doing like this. And the crazy thing was I was watching The Wizard of Oz and the Scarecrow was singing If I Only Had a Brain. And I pulled and it broke. And when it broke, it went through the handle and it sounded like somebody had shot a gun and it all came right here and hit me right here. I thought somebody had shot through the window. I really did. Linda hollered, did you just get your hand in the fan? I said, no. She said, what happened? Did you get shot? I said, no. If I only had a brain. So I got a little bruise right here from that thing hitting me last night. But again, if you want things to get better in your life, then before you fix everybody else, fix yourself. Let God fix you. Because when you fix yourself first, it's amazing how everybody else gets better. You make yourself a better husband, it's amazing how your wife starts getting better. You make yourself a better wife, it's amazing how your husband starts getting better. You make yourself a better sibling, it's amazing how your other siblings start getting better. You make yourself a better employee, it's amazing how the job gets different. You make yourself a better church member, it's amazing how the church gets different. Quit looking for somebody to blame. Take it to yourself. Come on up here, DC. Here we go. Here's the closing. Come on up here. I know you're there. There you are. Building a better you will build a, this is how I ended it last week. We'll build a better marriage. Build a better family. We'll build a better church. We'll build a better workplace. I worked with some very negative people at Procter & Gamble. I mean, they were negative. And I worked with some drug addicts. I reckon you call them blue-collar drug addicts because they would get drugged up and even come to work and go out on break and get drugged up and come in. They would take speed and go load trucks. And they were getting raises because they were getting that speed and were getting real fast and all this. And And the big people up top didn't even see these guys were messing with speed, and that's why they were doing stuff so fast. And then the crazy guys started taking Quaaludes, and they all got fired because then they went from high-quality work to no work. But still, all this stuff was going on, and all these people with bad attitudes, and they were always talking about somebody's marriage and talking about somebody this and who's the latest one to get drunk and who, what, when, where. And I got saved. And when I got saved, not only did I get saved, but I got my hands on some good material, leadership material, and some good positive training. And that place that I hated to go to work to every day became a wonderful place to work. For number one, I was already getting raises, but after this, raises just kept coming. They were flying raises. I wasn't even asking for them. They just kept coming. Promotions kept coming. I was complaining about the other guys getting promoted, messing with drugs, and making more money than me, and they're on drugs, and they got bad attitudes, and they're just terrible, terrible in some of the things they did. And I was sitting back complaining. Then after I got saved, and then I got into some good positive stuff and started learning some good things about how to handle situations, all of a sudden, I didn't care anymore. And when I got to where I didn't even care anymore, all of a sudden the raises started coming, the promotions started coming, the opportunities started coming from everywhere. And I can look back all those years ago and know the situation didn't change. I changed. It's so amazing how when you change your outlook and change the way you do things, how God will step in. It's like the lepers when they went into the city. The whole army ran because they heard just a handful of lepers, four lepers walking by again saying, we're going to die anyway, so let's go in here. And when they go in, when they step in, their speed are amplified and the enemy runs. When you work on you, not everybody else, you, and you start getting a better outlook about things, it's amazing how God will amplify your steps and things will change for the better. Everybody, let's stand. God has something special for us in 2019. Remember, that's why seasons change. That's why years change. It gives us a chance to start over, to do it right, to do things different, to get things in better alignment, to see things happen in a different way. If you're here today, every head bowed, every eye closed. First off, I'm going to ask the same question that I asked last week, and I'll probably ask it next week, and I'll ask it weeks to come. But every head bowed, every eye closed. How many want to see a better 2009? Put those hands up. I want to see a better 2019, a 2019. Now, here's the hard part. How many want to see God do some changes? Raise your hand. Now, here it goes. How many is willing for the change to start with you? Raise that hand. It's amazing how those people at Procter & Gamble changed after I got saved and after I started doing things different and got a better outlook. Craziest thing, I'm sitting back and I'm working, and now I got God on my side, and I'm talking with God all the time and asking him to show me what I need to do to glorify him. And all of a sudden, the head engineer of the plant comes and sees me one day while I'm out there working. I said, "What can I do for you?" He says, "I need you on my team." I said, "Well, I'm doing electrical here in the warehouse." He says, "I know, but I've read your resume and I've read the other stuff, and it says, I need you working for me." And I said, "Well, you got a lot of people you got to go through to get me." I said, "I'm not sure, because I've been trained for specific work here." He said, "I've already talked to everybody." He said, "What I need you for is more important than any of that. I need you to come to work with me." Through the process of time, it took several months, but I got moved into engineering in the office. And the only guy I worked with every day, 8 to 12 hours a day, was another man who was a minister. And he taught me how to study the Bible. He taught me a lot of stuff. God, when I changed my attitude, when I changed my outlook, when I saw things differently, that place that was driving me crazy, now I'm drawing drawings and doing engineering and computers for them, and I'm working with just the minister, me and the minister, all day long. And God put me in some quick learning with this guy. I had to learn fast. He was teaching me. If I had not had started changing me, if I'd have waited for everything to change before I changed me, that would have never happened. That changed my life forever. It was never the same after that. And the work that I did there wound up making a difference in my family's life for years to come. You raised your hand and said you were willing. I want us all to pray together. Ready? Ready? Y'all pray with me. Lord, I want to see a better year. And I know there's some changes that need to take place. But the greatest change needs to take place in me. Help me, Lord, to do what I need to do to be a better me. In order that you can change others through me. I accept the challenge. I take everybody else off of my wheels. Help me to climb on it myself. I know I may feel dizzy. I know things may get out of order. I know things may get blurry. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to probe me. I know it's going to cut. But in the end, I'll be a vessel God can use more than I was before I stepped up on the wheel. I gladly accept the challenge in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the altars are open. If you need to come up and pray about anything, come on up. You need to pray about anything, the altars are here. Also, don't forget, if you've already donated to the Team Bethany, you just come see me and I'll make sure today you'll get a wristband. And if you want to donate to Team Bethany, just let me know that. You can give the money to Jeannie, but I'll give you a wristband. I'm going to go take the wristbands. I got them up here with me right now, but I'm going to take them and put them in Jeannie's office.